What you believe in determines the values you live by. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us develop a biblical worldview that is based on the infallible Word of God.
There is a God in heaven who loves you, and He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll put your hand of faith in His hand today, He'll take you one day into a place called heaven. For the Bible says that God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, yes, whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will have everlasting life.
There are a lot of faith systems in our world today. The reason for this is because life is a faith proposition. So the question is not whether you live by faith. The question is, what is the object of your faith? Where do you choose to place your faith? Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. When you believe the Bible is entirely true, then you allow it to be the foundation of everything you say and do. In our series, Which Faith?, we will discover how to discern between what is faith and what is fiction. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Grace or Works.
Notice secondly this morning, His grace gives to us. You see, grace is not something you earn. Grace is undeserved favor. I believe today that my sins are forgiven, that I will have a home in heaven someday, but I do not believe that because I'm a Baptist or because I was raised in a Christian home or because I try to be a good citizen. I do not believe that I earn these things. I believe they are God's gifts and that they are gifts of grace. You see, grace, the grace of God, gives forgiveness to all who will receive. Notice if you would in verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You see, Jesus wasn't there to sell anything. Jesus wasn't going door to door selling religious materials. Jesus was not trying to enlist this woman, and he was not offering her a position in his course of discipleship for a particular fee. He was there to give her something that she did not have to pay for. It was something that he himself would pay for. The Bible says in Romans 5:19, For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. That speaks of the first man, Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That speaks of what we call the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. By one man, sin entered into the world. By another man, sin can be abolished in your life, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I will forgive you. My grace is sufficient for you. But not only does grace give forgiveness, but grace offers eternal life. Anyone in this room who has stopped to think about it lately must be honest and must agree with the Bible where the Bible says, what is this life? It is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. Dozens and dozens and dozens of times, more than 100 times, we've been involved in overseeing funeral services, homegoing services, and oftentimes as we stop and ponder the brevity of life, we must ask the question, I wonder if there are those here, I wonder if there are those in this community who still are not ready for eternal life. Notice what Jesus says to this woman in verse 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now sin brings death and sin brings judgment, but grace gives everlasting life. You see, the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ offered to this woman the gift of eternal life, and the gift of God is eternal life. And if you see in that note, Romans 6:23, it says, the gift of God is eternal life. How? through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're sitting here thinking you're on your way to heaven because you're a member of the Baptist or the Catholic or the Methodist or the Presbyterian or whatever church, then my friend, you are greatly mistaken. For the gift of God is not through a church. The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says to this woman, I want to forgive you. I want to give you the gift of eternal life. And it is truly a gift because grace is something that is a gift. It is not something that is earned. You say, but I've been baptized. I've been catechized. I've been all these different things. I've memorized this. I've got Sunday school pins, and that's why I'm going to heaven. Oh no, grace is not something you earn. Grace is the gift of Almighty God. Billy Graham years ago was driving through a southern state. He was doing a little bit of speeding as he went along his way, and a highway patrolman pulled him over. He said, Mr. Graham, you're going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. I'm going to write you a ticket. You'll need to go down to the courthouse in the next town and take care of this. Mr. Graham appeared in the courthouse, and as he stood there before the judge said, sir, are you guilty or are you innocent? Mr. Graham said, I am guilty. And the judge said, all right. He said, that'll be $1 for every mile an hour over the speed limit. Mr. Graham stood there and said, I understand. Suddenly, the judge recognized who he was. He said, Mr. Graham, he said, now you violated the law. He said, and the fine must be paid. But he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay the fine for you. He took out $10 bill out of his wallet. He stapled that to the ticket and he gave it to the bailiff. He said, not only am I going to pay your fine, Mr. Graham, but I'm going to dismiss court right now and I want to take you out for a steak dinner. I'm glad to have you in our town. Mr. Graham said, that's a beautiful picture of the wonderful grace of God toward a repentant sinner. When we come to God and we say, Lord, I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner and I ask you to forgive me. God not only wipes out the debt, but beyond that, he blesses us in ways that we are not worthy. I'm just simply saying this morning, salvation is not something you earn like climbing up a ladder. It is truly the gift of Almighty God. Romans 3:24 says it this way, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Do you see it there? Being justified freely by his grace. The word justified means just as if I had never sinned. And God says, I'm going to forgive you. By my grace, I'm going to make it like you had never sinned in the first place. That's what God does in his grace. You see, my friend, Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary. He was born of the Virgin Mary on this planet Earth in a little town called Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in all points like we are tempted, but he never sinned one time. And when Jesus Christ was taken up that hill of the skull, and when he was placed by the Roman soldiers on that cross, I mean when they put the nails through his hands and through his feet, when they put the crown upon his brow and the blood came flowing down, it was not the blood of a sinful Adamic line. It was the blood of Almighty God being shed that day for your sin and for mine. And it was a free gift. And today by grace, God says, you don't have to earn your way to heaven. I've already paid for your sin. It's paid in full. It's finished. It's done. And this is the wonderful grace of Jesus. Why, if this woman would have had to earn her way into heaven, she would have had a long way to go. She would have had a lot of wonder and worry. She would have not ever really had confidence whether or not she would make it there. But God says, oh no, it's not about you. It's about my son, Jesus Christ. You see, God's grace comes to us. And God's grace gives to us. And notice finally this morning, if you would, God's grace secures us. It secures us. Now, religion is an interesting thing. A lot of people have religion, but they never feel secure in their heart. I'm talking about people who are members of churches who do not know that they would go to heaven. They hope they will. But there's a slight insecurity about that when they talk about it. There are a lot of religious people who hope they are right with God, but they're not sure that they are right with God. You see, religion brings insecurity sometimes, but the grace of God brings security. Let me tell you how. First of all, God's grace will give us security in his love. You can be secure in knowing that God loves you. Look at verse 16, if you would. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, call, go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Now here is a woman who knew little of true love. Think of this if you would. This woman had been married five times. Five times, no doubt. Some man, perhaps as he caressed her, some man, perhaps as he gave her a present, said to this woman, I love you. I will never leave you. You will always be my true love. There is no one as beautiful as you. Five different times this woman had known the kind of love that the world can give. And five different times men put her away and said, I don't want to have any dealings with you anymore. Five different times she had experienced and she had tasted what the world calls love. Now she was living in adultery, trying again to find love, trying somehow to feel accepted, trying somehow to feel security. And yet every single time it was failing her. Oh, I want to tell you, the world can be harsh and unloving. And what the world calls love many times is just lust. Many times it's just using someone. Many times there's no reality to it at all. The world does not give much security. It does not give much comfort. There's a lot of hate in the world today. I heard about a woman who went to a man by the name of Winston Churchill during World War II, and this woman was upset with Winston Churchill. She looked at Winston Churchill. She said, I'm going to tell you right now. She said, I want you to know if you were my husband, I would put arsenic in your drink. He said, if you were my wife, I would drink it. There's a lot of sin and hate in this world. But I want you to understand something. This woman had had five failed marriages. She was living in adultery. But God came to her. And God loved her. And God said, you don't have to do anything to have my love. I'm not going to love you if I love you because of who I am. Even though you are a sinner today, my friend, even though I am a sinner today, God loves me. You don't have to try to earn it. It's there already. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Listen, there's no one in this room better than the other person. The ground is level at the cross. According to the Bible, we all fall short of the glory of God. God is perfect, but we fall short of God's glory. There's no way I can brush myself up and try to be a better person and someday become like God. No, that is the lie of false religion. I have no hope of becoming like God. My only hope of having a relationship with God is through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, it is God's perfect grace that brings security. I'm secure today, not because I'm such a good man. For if my salvation depended upon me, I would be saved one day and lost one day and saved one day and lost one day, and so would you. There's no one perfect in this room. But my salvation is not up to me. It's all because of God's amazing grace. It's all because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Well, we can be secure in his love. I want you to see, secondly, we can be secure without works. Secure without works. I know someone sitting here saying, well, you know, this is what the Baptists say, but now in my tradition it says this or that. And that's exactly what the woman at the well said. You'll notice, if you would, in John 4:20, the Bible says, as this woman spoke, she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Sometimes, you know, people say, well, there's two things I don't talk about, religion and politics. And I understand that notion. And sometimes when you try to talk to someone about the Lord, not about religion, but about the Lord, someone will say like this woman, well, we do it this way and you do it this way, but all ways are about the same, and it's just important that you just have one of your ways. She's trying to brush off this conversation now. She realizes Jesus knows a little more than the average prophet here. And she's saying, you know, I have my religion, I can do it my way, we work at it one way, you work at it one way. But again, it's not about religion. In fact, religion is the fashionable substitute for belief. There are many people who do not want to come to grips with their sinfulness, and they do not want to call upon Jesus. They do not want to humble themselves and say, Jesus, I need you. And because faith in Jesus Christ goes against their pride, they'll go ahead and get a little bit of religion. They'll join a church, they'll have a denominational label, but even in that religion, they are not sure that they know Christ and that they are on their way to heaven. And so they try through their works somehow to feel as though they might be saved. But the Bible says in Romans 4 and verse 4, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Friend, it's not about what you do when it comes to this matter of salvation. Should a Christian serve God after he's saved? Of course. But do we do works in order to be saved? Not at all. Then it would not be by the grace of God. I heard about two brothers who lived in a town, and these guys were rascals. I mean, they were notorious for thievery and all kinds of different crimes. And one day, one of the brothers became sick and he died. And so the elder brother went to the Baptist preacher and he said, "Preacher," he said, "my brother's dead and he was a rascal, but I'd sure like to have a nice church funeral for him." And the pastor said, "Well," he said, "I'd be glad to pray about that." He said, "No," he said, "now, pastor, I don't just want a funeral." He said, "At my brother's funeral, I want you to tell the whole congregation that he was a saint. I want you to let everybody know he was a saint." He said, "In fact, pastor," he said, "if you'll say that, I'll write a $10,000 check for the building fund for the church." Well, the pastor wasn't stupid. He took the check. He put that check in the building fund. Everybody came to the funeral. The pastor stood up. He said, "We're here today to remember John. He was a thief and a liar and a reprobate, but compared to his brother, he was a saint." Now, folks, you can try to buy your way to some influence. You can try to give some money to the church. You can try to let's make a deal with God, if you will. But that's not the way to find salvation. Oh, no, the fact is all of us must recognize what this verse says. And if you see it there in Ephesians 2:8, please notice what it says. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's not something you buy. It's not something you earn or deserve. Salvation is the gift of God," the Bible says, "not of works, lest any man should boast." My friend, if you died today, do you know that you would spend eternity in heaven? And upon what do you base that? If you say, "Because I've done this and joined this and done this," do you see that is your work? But salvation is not by your work. Salvation is by the grace of Almighty God. And God says, "I want you to be secure, not insecure. I don't want you wondering if you'll go to heaven. I want you knowing." 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." God doesn't want you wondering. God wants you knowing. He says, "You can be secure in my love. You can be secure without works." And notice finally, he says, "You can be secure in my promise." God says, "You can trust who I am." Notice in verse 21 what he says. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak to thee am he. Let's say those red words together. Ready? I that speak to thee am he. This woman says, "Well, I don't know. You worship this way. Others worship this way." She says, "One thing I do know is that one day the Messiah, the Son of God, he's going to come. And when he comes, then I can trust what he says." And Jesus looks at this woman and says, "I that speak to thee am he." He says, "I am the Son of God." In John 14, 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." To Mary and to Martha, in John 11, 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me," listen, "shall never die." He said, "If you live and believe in me, you will never die." And then he asked the question, "Believest thou this?" He said, "If you believe on me, you will have everlasting life." You see, a man may go to heaven without wealth, and a man may go to heaven without health, And a man may go to heaven without honor. And a man may go to heaven without friends. But a man will never go to heaven without a relationship with Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 3, there was a man named Nicodemus. He had religion, but he didn't know the Savior. In John chapter 4, there's a woman at the well. She had some religion, but she did not have eternal life. My friend, the way into heaven and the way into a relationship with God is by coming to Christ and receiving His grace and receiving His forgiveness. One day in London, England, there was a little boy. He was staring at Buckingham Palace. He wanted to go in there. He saw the fountains and he saw the chariots going in and out. He thought, oh, I'd like to go in. I'd like to see the king and queen. I'd like to see how they live. Every time he tried to go through the gate, the guards would brush him off. He'd try again and again to get inside the gate, but he never could get in. The guards would say, get on home, boy. You don't belong here. You're not royalty. You're not a part of this family. Leave here. That little boy stood there one day, tears coming down his face. And as he stood there at the gate looking, a man walked by and said to him, son, what do you want? The boy said, I want to go inside. I want to see Buckingham Palace. The man extended his hand. The little boy put his hand inside. Together they walked into the palace. He saw the residence of the king and queen. He saw the beautiful art from all over the world. He saw the beauty and magnificence of Buckingham Palace. And the reason he saw it was because he put his hand in the hand of the Prince of Wales, who walked him in and showed him the way to the throne room. I want to tell you something today. There is a God in heaven who loves you, and He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll put your hand of faith in His hand today, He'll take you one day into a place called heaven. For the Bible says that God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, yes, even a woman married five times living in adultery, I said whosoever, even someone in this room who's trying to work off a hangover, I mean whosoever, someone who's addicted to sin and lust of whatever kind, I mean whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will have everlasting life. That's the promise of God. He says it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you are. The grace of God can change your life. And Jesus said to Mary and Martha, believest thou this? Believest thou this? And I ask you this morning, believest thou this? Believest thou this morning, that no matter who you are, no matter where you've done, you're not going to earn your way into heaven? But do you believe that Jesus died and rose again on that third day? Do you believe that His blood will cleanse away your sin? Do you believe that whoever comes to Him, He will in no wise cast out? Do you believe if you take His hand today, He'll give you the promise of heaven? Because if you'll believe that, the Bible says, whoever believeth will not perish, but have everlasting life. God's grace provides forgiveness. God's grace provides eternal life. And if you're here today and there's been a time in your life when you were saved by grace, I want you to know something. God's grace will give a purpose to you. God's grace will transform your living. Notice the Bible says in verse 27, and upon this the disciples came and they marveled that He talked with the woman. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You see, this woman all of a sudden realized Jesus is the Messiah, and salvation is by grace, and I can have a drink of everlasting life, and I don't have to try anymore to go up to the mountain and find God. God has come to me, and God has saved me. And when this woman realized that Jesus was the Messiah, she got so excited about who Christ was and about her salvation that she left her water pots, and she said, I don't need this life anymore. And she said, I want to spend my life telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, she came to the well with a burden of sin, but she left the well with the burden off. She came to the well not knowing about Jesus, but she left the well knowing that Jesus Christ was the King of kings and Lord of lords. And there may be someone here this morning, and you came into this place just wondering if God is real and wondering if this place might be a place to hear about Jesus Christ, and you came with the burden of sin and you did not know exactly what you might hear. I want to tell you something. You can leave this campus today knowing that your sins are forgiven and knowing that you have a home in heaven. And it's not about religion and it's not about church. It's about realizing who Jesus Christ really is. It's about saying, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There may be today billions of people who deny that truth. There may be people today who hate the name of Jesus Christ, but I choose to believe that He died and He rose again, and I want to receive Christ as my very own Savior. Oh, friend, you can leave this place today with the joy of the Lord, knowing that your sins are forgiven.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you visit or live in Southern California, we would love for you to be our guest at Lancaster Baptist Church, Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. Pastor Chappell will share a message of hope and encouragement you won't want to miss. You can find out more about our times and locations when you visit lancasterbaptist.org.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.